charged with aggravated indecent assault. This is a felony of the first degree. Mr. Cosby's attorney has been notified of the charges, and he is expected to be arraigned. Statute of limitations in this type of case is 12 years.
Nobody was there, you know, to see any of this happen, so it's all hearsay. So, you know, for me to be a comedian, to be an entertainer, to be, you know, in support of Ms. Cosby, I just want to hear from myself before, you know, somebody tells me.
We'll put some witnesses on the stand. We're confident in the case we have. And look forward to getting it in a jury's hand.
The direct examination's the easy part. She gets to talk to the prosecutor about what she says happened. But her credibility will be judged based on the cross-examination.
I'm one of his victims, and I know better. He uses that as an excuse. He has a pattern of behavior that is consistent throughout all of us 60 women.
It's very important he admitted the Benadryl. He admitted providing the pills to her.
Bill Cosby's defense team rested without calling Cosby to the stand in his sexual assault trial. They put on just one detective. They recalled him to recount one or two pieces of evidence that point toward the defense in this case. They then got to closing arguments where defense lawyer Brian McMonagle said, quote, accuser Andrea Constand changed her story about when it happened, what the background of their relationship was. He says, I don't understand why she wouldn't just come clean about the fact that in his mind, in the defense mind, that they had a consensual relationship.
This is the Arlene Biden Show on Canada Talks.
So he didn't testify. They only called one witness. The defense has rested in the trial of Bill Cosby. And the lawyers just called on one witness, 6 minutes of testimony, and then they called it a day. What does all this mean? Richard Roth, New York-based attorney, is joining us again. Richard, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. Great, thanks.
All right, Richard, what do you make of this from a legal point of view? Does it make them sound confident or terrified over something? Some of the testimony? What do you say?
Maybe both. You know, it's funny because he doesn't have an obligation, and as counsel for Mr. Cosby said in the summation, which was also today, he has no obligation to put on any witnesses, and certainly not Mr. Cosby. I think they're nervous. They put on this one witness, this one detective who was called before him by the prosecution to essentially show inconsistencies in the victim's statements. They're resting their entire case on this Mr. McMonagle, who was the lawyer for Bill Cosby, is resting his entire case on essentially inconsistencies. Why would she be in a hotel room? Was it January? Was it March? Or was it February? And so trying to poke holes at her, I don't know. It appears for me, again, we're not in the courtroom, so we haven't seen the evidence. It appears to me like there's not much of a defense here. If he can show that the victim is uncertain about what happened, where it happened, when it happened, how it happened, then maybe he can show reasonable doubt. I don't believe he can. He certainly could never put Mr. Cosby on the stand. That would have been a free-for-all for the prosecutor.
Wow. So you think so far, from what you have seen, that this is going to be a tough case for Cosby?
I think it is. She was very credible. She sat there and she answered questions. And when you go after a victim, it could backfire. She had a relatively good, vivid recollection of what happened, when it happened, how it happened. And, for example, they try to make a big deal of the fact that she didn't report it right away and there was a little inconsistency. Well, you know what? That's what happens when women get raped. They don't run to the police. The first question they ask is about themselves, about their identity, about what happened. And many times it doesn't happen for weeks and not, if not months, where they really have the courage to go to the police, especially when you're dealing with this man of, you know, America's dad with such popularity and the celebrity. So you can't fault her for waiting a while to go to the police. Cosby's lawyer is trying to. It could backfire.
It could. These are different times. And you and I have talked about the tone and how the public reacts. It matters to some degree, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It absolutely matters. She, you know, it's all a function of how good your witnesses are. And she was a very good witness. She did have a recollection. She explained why she waited. She explained that he tried to calm her, and he said, just take this, it'll calm you. She explained that she essentially, almost if she was it was an out-of-body experience, she said she essentially witnessed him raping her, him groping her, his hands going down her pants, but she really was so drugged that she couldn't do anything about it. So she was very, very credible. And this jury, you know, without much of a defense may very well convict him.
If that happens, what does that mean? I mean, look at this. Let's look in the big picture. We all know statute of limitations, all those women, that magazine with all those women sitting down and the empty chair. I mean, this is about Bill Cosby. It's also about something bigger than that.
It's much bigger than that. It's almost as if it's now a term, you know, don't pull a Bill Cosby or don't Bill Cosby hurt, because there are up to 60 women that alleges, even when the whole Donald Trump fiasco happened, there were maybe, let's say, a half a dozen that wasn't even as bad as this. 60 women alleged to have been fondled, raped, etc. And it is that bad. So what's going to happen to him? Now, luckily for Bill Cosby, 59 of them couldn't actually prosecute him because the statute is run. He does have this one that prosecuted him. He is old. He is blind. There will be a big the next battle. If he does lose, and again, I predict he will. Who knows? We're not in the courtroom. But if he does lose, there will be a battle between the prosecution and the defense as to how long of a term he should sit. He is a philanthropic man. He is elderly. There'll be some, if you will, weighing in the favor of not making it a full term. But he's facing a 10-year term. So he may very well be in jail if he loses for a couple of years.
Wow. And this sends a big message. You know, how do these kind of trials affect other trials in the future? They set precedents.
Yeah, I think it does, because I think this goes on more than we know it, with the roofing and the drugging. But the fact that it's a celebrity, the fact that it's getting this attention, really makes, hopefully it'll make men think twice. But in addition, it'll really make jurors and make, you know, the trier of fact say, wait a minute, this is not right. You can't go ahead and... I mean, the man literally would walked around, assuming you believe these 60 women, again, there weren't 2, 5, 10, or 20.
Yeah.
He literally would walk around with these pills in his pocket and use them as he saw fit. So hopefully this will bring attention to the outrageous conduct that is engaged in this time by a celebrity.
It is, and we've watched these celebrities before. It was Michael Jackson, and every time a celebrity goes to court like this, we do, okay, you know, nobody's above the law. Quite frankly, covering them, they often appear to me to be above the law. Look at O.J. Simpson. I mean, he got off on that murder charge. He did not get off again. You know, it evolves, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the O.J. Simpson case, yes, he did lose a civil case, but it's a travesty that he wasn't convicted. And, you know, there's been so much written about it, about the selection of the jurors, the fact that it was an all-black jury, the fact that they actually revolted against the prosecution in that case. And that case went on for literally forever. But you're right. It is unfortunate someone like an O.J. Simpson, who everyone believes killed his wife and this guy, Ron Goldman, gosh, I don't know how many years ago, a while ago, 20 years, 15 years ago. It is a shame that he's above the law. Michael Jackson, when he actually got off from the molestation charges, it is a shame. There's something about a celebrity that when you put him on the stand, people want to believe. They want to believe in him. They're jealous of him. They're excited about him. They just like the whole persona. And so it's not that they're above the law, but it's harder to prove. Because you have, you know, Bill Cosby, little Bill Cosby sitting in the courtroom, who people who are of my generation, you know, grew up watching on television. So you had this automatic, like, affiliation, friendship with these people that you really don't know from a hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it makes us examine celebrity and the role that it places in the courtroom. And jury selection is such a big part of it. And let's face it, media coverage is as well.
Yeah, jury selection, I think, is everything, because you know, you that we say we're trying to get jurors who are non-biased, but the bottom line is both sides are fighting to get biased on their side.
Yeah.
The O.J. Simpson case, they did a great job. In this case, they actually moved the Bill Cosby case. They moved the jury to another location because of all the local press. So we don't know much about the jury. We will learn, but this case will, like O.J. Simpson's case, rise and fall on the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, and I think it's a huge part. The press plays a part in it, more to us outsiders that are not in the courtroom, but the juries come into the room and they hear the evidence with their preconceptions and their life experiences. So jury selection is an integral part of any of these trials.
All right, Richard Roth, so if you're a betting person, you think Cosby's in a bit of trouble here.
I think he goes down. I do think he goes down.
All right. We're going to hold you to that. We'll have you back after the verdict. Richard, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.